On a November evening in 1941, five elderly Bristol Bombay transport aircraft lumbered along the runway of Bagush Airport on the Egyptian coast and then wheeled into the darkening Mediterranean haze. Each aircraft carried a stick of 11 British parachutists, some 55 soldiers in all, almost the entire strength of a new, experimental and intensely secret combat unit. L Detachment of the Special Air Service, the SAS. As the planes rumbled northwest, the wind began to pick up, bringing the electric inklings of a brewing storm. The temperature inside dropped quickly as the sun slipped below the horizon. It was suddenly intensely cold. The fledgling SAS was on its first mission. Codenamed Operation Squatter, it ran as follows: to parachute at night into the Libyan desert behind the enemy lines, infiltrate five airfields on foot, plant explosives on as many German and Italian aircraft as they could find, and then, as the bombs exploded, head south to a rendezvous point deep in the desert, where they would be picked up and brought back to safety. Some of the men, strapped in and shivering in the rushing darkness at 18,000 feet, were regular soldiers, but others were not. Their number included a hotel porter, an ice cream maker, a Scottish aristocrat, and an Irish rugby international. Some were natural warriors, nerveless and calm, and a few were touched by a sort of martial madness. Most were silently petrified, and determined not to show it. None could claim to have been fully prepared for what they were about to do, for the simple reason that no one had ever before attempted a nighttime parachute assault in the North African desert. But a peculiar camaraderie had already taken root. A strange esprit, compounded in equal parts of ruthlessness, guile, competitiveness, and collective determination. Before takeoff, the men had been informed that anyone seriously injured on landing would have to be left behind. There is no evidence that any of them found this odd. The wind had reached gale force by the time the bucking Bombays neared the Libyan coast, 2.5 hours after takeoff. Storm-driven sand and pelting rain completely obscured the flares on the ground laid down by the Royal Air Force to guide the planes to the drop zone 12 miles inland. The pilots could not even make out the shape of the shoreline. German searchlights on the coast picked up the incoming planes and flak began exploding around them in blinding flashes. A shell ripped through the floor of one plane and missed the auxiliary fuel tank by inches. One of the sergeants made a joke, which no one could hear, though everyone grinned. The pilots indicated that the parachutists should prepare to jump, although in truth they were now flying blind, navigating by guesswork. The parachute canisters were tossed out first, containing explosives, Tommy guns, ammunition, food, water, maps, blankets, and medical supplies. Then, one by one, the men hurled themselves into the seething darkness.